article says porn app secretly takes your picture.
Huh?
Yeah.
When?
There's a porn watching app that secretly takes control of your phone, snaps your picture, looks, and then locks you out of the device, then demands $500.
Are you kidding me? Turn. This is awesome. I like this app. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Casimir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm going to kick off. Much like, what are we in the football season now?
Oh, that's right. The pig skin, right?
Yeah, that's what they call the football.
Yeah. I'm hoping. I just threw that out there. That's all I know about football. All right, so I have some tales from their campfire. So,
you want to give me an introduction? Yes. Tales from the Campfire is a segment wherein we talk about ghost stories, myth, fake lore, folklore,
yeah, urban
demonology.
Legends. Yes, paranormal stories.
What else? The shadow people.
Yep.
Anything.
All that kinds of stuff. And we retell them here around the digital campfire, so gather around, everybody.
Gather around, listeners.
So I found this thing about werewolves. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and that's the time when people get interested in werewolves. So we know about, people are concerned about vampires and sexuality and immigration.
Well, vampires is about your youth.
Yeah.
Being young forever.
Loss of.
Zombies are about consumerism.
Yep.
And slasher movies are about AIDS.
And apparently werewolves come from fears of not having enough food, which also ties in with economic distress.
Wow.
I didn't know that. So
I didn't know either.
There was a conference last month at the University of Hertfordshire, and they had a bunch of people coming together, and some of the topics that they talked about regarding werewolves were rabid bitches and fanged whores.
I'm hairy
on the inside and encountering the beast within.
Wait a minute. I'm hairy on the inside.
It says, culturally, werewolves have always come before when there's
Wait a minute. You know
food.
That somebody's going to want to wax that.
Oh, yeah.
Are you hairy on the inside? Come on in.
I'm not fond of waxing hairy on the outside. This is bad enough.
Okay.
So it says, in the days of collapsing capitalism, lycanthropes or man wolves, as they're called. Yeah. I don't know who calls them man wolves. That doesn't sound nice to me at all. I like werewolf.
Yeah.
Man wolf?
You man wolf.
Sounds sketchy. It's an archetype around our contemporary terrors. So it says they emerged in folklore in medieval Germany. I didn't know any of this. When there was a time when there wasn't a lot of food going around.
Okay.
So if you had sheep in your field and you woke up the next morning and your sheep were missing, you could say, okay, maybe it was a wolf. Or more than likely, you would start to think it was your neighbors. And then these two things go together. It's kind of like, well, maybe my neighbor in the night turned into a wolf, snuck over here, grabbed the sheep or whatever, and then went back and turned into the human
That's
form.
That's far more exciting
yes,
than either of those
exciting.
On its own.
But it's probably your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right? Your neighbor right, is sure. starving. You have like 80 sheep. He has nothing.
Yeah, and they're so embarrassed that they had to steal that they're like, I turn into this thing at night.
But and yet you smell lamb coming from over there.
Yeah.
So it says, basically it's a recognition that it's a dog-eat-dog world, and that's where the werewolf fantasies come from. So then they go on to talk about Little Red Riding Hood, which is interesting because it's a story about, it could be about male sexuality. You know, being predatory towards young girls. That's one way to look at it. But another way that it was told is just that the wolf was just eating everything that was in sight. So there was no sexual overtones to it all. It was just like...
About this
just consuming, eating.
Voracious. Can't be satisfied.
Yeah. And they said one story was written called The Werewolf of Paris in 1933 during the Depression. And it was about what was going on in the Paris Commune in 1870, which apparently they had so little food that there were rumors of people eating each other.
Oh.
So there's like a werewolf tendency around that as well. So
cannibalism happening. So you have to say, taking away the responsibility from the thievery or the cannibalism and putting it on this
and making
creature.
It animalistic. So in conjunction with that, I found a story called Did I See a Werewolf? And this takes place in Minnesota. And I feel like for some reason you might see a werewolf there. Like of all the places.
I think so.
Canada too.
Yeah.
I think Canada is just lousy with them. They're all over the place.
Running rampant through the provinces and territories of Canada.
Watch out, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
So it says here, I live in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, which is in west central Minnesota, about an hour north from Fargo. I mean,
my mother. I'd like to see it on a map, please.
My mother-in-law lives out in the country about 3 to 4 miles outside of Fergus Falls. And I was staying there while
Fergus Falls.
Yeah, while my wife and her mother went shopping in town. They called me and asked me if I wanted to go to a 7 p.m. movie, so I left the house around 6:30 to 6:45. This guy is just really getting specific. I wonder when the werewolf shows up.
I know, it's like more of an alibi.
Yeah. About two... It is. This is where I was. About 2 miles from their house on a country road known as Wendell Road, along the Mistinka River.
I don't like that name.
I don't like Mistinka. Along the Mistinka River, I saw 3 white-tailed deer. 2 of the deer were small. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Being an avid hunter...
It was small, yeah. Not large.
Being an avid hunter, a lover of wildlife, and a future wildlife biologist, I stopped to look at the deer.
Sure.
I should also mention that I hunt in the area, having spent my entire life in the Fergus Falls area. The deer were following a small creek bed, which was in fact the Mistinka River. Mistinka?
I love this Fergus Falls.
Let's just go. Maybe I didn't see... Okay, so there were hardly any trees except for one.
Yeah. I'd call that hardly any trees.
Maybe because I didn't see it there because of the tree, but I noticed something crouching behind the tree on my side of the road looking at the deer.
One tree?
So that's what
I'm saying. Hiding behind
There's one tree. That's it. And then the thing is crouching behind that. This is not a very seasoned werewolf. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fantastic crouch and hide spot.
I'm telling you, the deer saw him the whole time, and we're like, you know what? We're just going to be casual.
Yeah, because this
is awful. If we let him know we've seen him, it probably won't be any better for us. So he sees something crouching. Right away, crouching to me implies some kind of a humanoid figure, right?
Completely.
So I just sat there looking at the deer. Yeah, it took taking
the crouching
no
figure behind the tree.
The thing crouching behind the tree just sat there looking at the deer, okay. Taking no notice of our narrator.
Yeah.
Right? Even though I was in a truck no more than 40 yards away with a clear view and nothing obstructing it, it had one quote-unquote hand on the tree and was bracing itself, which struck me as shocking.
What do you mean quote-unquote hand? You
it's
know.
Like a paw hand.
Okay. All right.
It seemed to be a two-legged creature, not four-legged.
On its quote-unquote feet.
With its quote-unquote hands, again, appeared to have opposable thumbs and were rather slender, very long, and unlike a wolf. I mean, it could just be a filthy person.
Yeah.
The creature looked as though if it stood up, it'd be over 7 feet tall. It had a protruding muzzle, broad shoulders, a slender waist, thick,
sexy.
Muscular legs.
Wow. Hubba hubba.
And being as there was snow on the ground, couldn't see the feet. They're probably a lovely size 10 and a half. He was a deep dark brown in color throughout the body. After 7 seconds of looking at the creature in shock, the deer ran off. That's your cue.
Yeah, right.
To get the fuck out of there.
The deer like, now it's time.
Yeah. Then something amazing happened. It looked at me. Because who else is left?
Yeah, well.
The deer could have been a decoy. He could have put the deer out there himself or been like, I'll hang out here by some deer. Some asshole hunter will come by or biologist.
Right.
Future biologist. And then I'll
get the good stuff. Some of that man meat.
It's with a slender waist. So it looked right at me as though blaming me for losing the meal.
Yeah. Well,
he sat there looking at me, blinking and not moving. This scared the crap out of me, so I hit the gas pedal and drove off.
Oh, my God.
Right. So, that's my tale from Dark Campfire.
Yeah, I think it was wonderful.
I didn't know anything. I didn't know that werewolves were about, you know, scarcity of food.
I did not either. And when was the last time they were big? The 80s. The early 80s, mind you.
Oh, so I guess we should look at correlations between when they're popular and when there's, like, more hunger issues, I guess.
Well, what did we have? We had the gasoline crisis. Mm-hmm. The gasoline crisis.
That's in the 70s,
though,
right? That's
late 70s.
So then Reagan is the 80s, and he was starving everybody, and werewolves were really big
That was in the early 80s. Yeah. And then the old AIDS came to the forefront, and they turned to slasher movies.
Okay. And then we have vampires again, which is back to sexuality, because everyone's nervous that a teenage girl might get laid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you know what what's going to happen to you if you get laid.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right. So what do you have?
I have here a new beauty trend that's taking Asia by storm.
I'm scared. Okay.
It's called hangover makeup. You purposefully apply your makeup to look like you have a hangover. And that's supposed to be pretty.
And you go, that's a daytime look? Or is that an evening
that's
look?
That's an all-the-time look. It says,
what is that
look? Being drunk or hungover isn't usually regarded as a great beauty look.
Mm-hmm. I would just wear a toilet seat around my neck, because that's usually where I can be found when I'm hungover. Right? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, basically. But it's all
piece of corn on your cheek. You know? Like, whatever. Whatever splashes up. So I'm just saying. Look, I'm giving an authentic hangover look.
Hangover makeup is the latest look to hit social media, with girls in Japan and Korea uploading photos of themselves on Instagram, intentionally looking like they've just come home from a big night out.
Okay.
So they
of course, they probably still look good if I know Asian women and their makeup. Yeah. They probably still look pretty.
Yeah, they still look pretty, but what they're trying to do is to accentuate bags under the eyes.
Mm-hmm. See me for that. Come live my life. I'll give you bags under your eyes.
This puffiness under the eye is seen as pretty.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We got to get over there. Where is this? Right. Book a flight. We can drink on the way and make it authentic.
They also apply blush directly under the eyes to give the impression of being tired and slightly feverish.
Really?
So what you do is you apply like a light coat of something right under the rim of your eye to give it the bag a more pronounced look.
Okay.
Blush above the cheekbones to make it look like you're sick and feverish. And then the rest of your skin is pale.
Huh. And that's the look.
Right. And that's the look. And sometimes, they have like and wet hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, is your friend Stephanie holding your hair back?
Yeah.
Because that's a part of being hungover as well.
And you put it all together. And then if you look at some of the pictures, then the girls look very pretty, actually.
Wow.
Some
then
don't.
They don't look hungover.
Some don't.
Really?
Some think they look pretty.
Or they're just going along with the trend.
Yeah, and they're like,
and
hey,
they're like, Felicia, you look rough.
Yeah, but they call... The puppy lower eyelid look, they call it aego sal, which means charming fat.
That doesn't even sound nice.
No.
That doesn't sound nice at all.
No. So they call the under eye bags charming fat.
Wow. Did you look at any of the pictures?
Oh, yeah. I looked at the pictures.
And
yeah.
What's your professional assessment?
My professional assessment is they're still going with the big eye look. So there's a lot of, there is the liner, there's the lashes. And
but then they know that when you're hungover, the last thing you want getting into your eye is light. My hungover look is sunglasses, and then the toilet seat around my neck, and that's it, bits of food.
Yeah, that's really
like whatever I had the night before, before I went out and got shit faced.
Stuff on your cheek.
Yeah, and there's a breast crumbs for something as well.
I'm usually a little green.
Oh, really? You actually get
green? Green undertone. Tiny eyes.
Yeah, it's like little pins. That's the best part of being hungover. You're like, what happened to my eyes?
Yeah, blotchy skin.
Yeah.
Green, blotchy.
I go with the blotchiness.
Yeah.
And then usually my hair is just shot to the grease. Like, we don't even want to talk about it. It's like scarf time.
Yeah.
When I'm hungover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing. You have to wash your hair to get rid of the heat helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That has settled over you in the night.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to sweat out the booze.
You're trying to sweat it out and it radiates off you in like a 6-inch
The stink lines in like a Charlie Brown cartoon.
And you could feel the warmth coming off you.
Like, your hair smells like booze.
You're motionless.
Well. Yes.
Yet you're still throwing off some heat. Like nobody's business.
Where's that picture? I want to see a heat sensor on it. That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
So bizarre. All right. So I found something here for some animal news. Not really barnyard because these are.
Why can't we say it's a barnyard?
Because it's birds. We'll say barnyard.
That's a barnyard animal.
I'm going to go with barnyard news then.
Okay.
So it says study.
Barnyard news.
Barnyard news, everyone. Birds that mate for life have more successful bird families.
Well.
It says here, at least in some birds, it seems that love is a match much better than an arranged marriage. So they wanted to see if birds who pick their own bird partner are more successful than birds who are like forced into it, I guess, by their parents or I don't know the situation.
Or their culture.
Yeah, by their culture.
So it's an arranged bird marriage.
Yeah. So the behavioral ecologist at the Institute for Ornithology in Germany took 100 single male zebra finches, so they say, and let them choose.
They said they were single. Yes. Little tiny bird rings in their little tiny feathered pockets.
You're like, Fred, yeah, he's out there.
Yeah.
So it let them choose their own mates. Half of the pairs were left alone, while the other half were separated from their chosen mates and given new mates. So immediately the
my God! What the anguish they're causing these animals.
Immediately, the female birds were like, what the hell? You know, like, what's going on? They were really upset, and they started calling for the old guy.
Right, but
where's Fred?
They're making the women suffer
because
they're just studying the guys.
Yeah, they're the women like, we worked really hard to get this thing going. Next thing you know, Fred's out. He's over there with Samantha.
Oh, man.
So they set them up, and then they, you know, split them up. After a few months, the pairs were put back into communal aviaries to breed, and they found a 37% higher success rate of reproduction among the birds paired with mates they picked themselves.
Compared
to those in arranged pairs. So they're saying, like, I guess all the birds got it on, but it was 37% more success rate for reproduction.
For reproduction, weight with the original?
With the original.
Of course, because it was their own free will.
Because they're like, you know what, I'm doing it, but my heart's not in it, no egg.
Right.
Sorry.
I mean, I don't understand why they had to have a study to come up with this. One of the
scientists says, even though the assigned pairs eventually agreed to breed, I don't know how this negotiation went down. It's like, you know what, the eagle flies with the dove, whatever.
Exactly. This is what that song was about.
They said that the arranged marriage people, even though they decided to get it on, they couldn't reach as high fitness. So they were doing it.
Yeah, but they were. But it wasn't vigorous.
Yeah, it wasn't vigorous. It was half-hearted. It's just like, yeah, you know what? You just finished up on your own.
Yeah. Over there. There's a movie.
It says it's not that they didn't want to, but they could coordinate it. They were busy. One bird had a headache. Kept coming home late. The other bird was asleep. This kind of thing.
The bird stared at the sky.
Yes. Are you done? So it says,
thinking about all the things they had to do to feather the nest.
The female finches.
I gotta get some more string.
Yes. Look what I've done. I don't care. Female finches who have been forced into arranged pairs they weren't up for it. They didn't want to get it on. And the partners were, once they did have kids with the partner, the dude wasn't even paying attention to the kids. Didn't care at all.
He's like, if you did it with me, you probably did it with everyone else because we don't love each other.
And they were cheating.
Yeah.
The male finches were like, fuck it, I'm out. I'm going to go find Felicia.
Yeah, because everything is meaningless now.
Yeah, I was meant to be with her. It said assigned pairs had more infertile eggs. And then more of the eggs that hatched, the babies died.
Yeah.
So it was bad for the egg, bad for the, you know,
yeah,
for the babies,
if you're
forced
to be with anyone, you're going to suck up that fertility.
Yeah. So they're
I don't know what that means.
Yes. You're just shooting blanks and for females. Yeah, I made 3 eggs. Yeah. Nothing in them. But that's not my fault. Maybe you didn't do your part.
Yeah.
You know, it takes 2. So so they came up with the, you know, finding that birds do better when they choose their own mate. It's amazing to me that they were able to, like, they let the birds get together. It's so sad. It's like a bird side story. You know? Like,
and birds when don't have personality disorders. You know, they're fine.
You know what? We know nothing. They may now. They may have issues now.
Maybe with human beings, we're like, oh, yeah, we all need our choice in partners. But some people are really shy, and they're like, fine, good. I'm glad I was set up with somebody.
There's probably a couple of finches who were like, I wasn't going to get anywhere until they hooked me up with this.
Yeah, did you see this flat top I have going on? Have you seen Finch? They have like a flat top look to them. That's out.
That's not good anymore. I wonder if they picked 160 good finches or if they like got in there with the female finches and they were like, look at this mess. This is the worst club I've ever been to.
Yeah, how do they know which were the more appealing finch?
Yeah, you're just doing the best you can. And the next thing you know, somebody else here. You're shooting blanks. Anyway, I thought that was interesting and weird that they're looking at that. I don't know what they're trying to. It doesn't say in the article what they're trying to achieve.
They're just being cruel.
they're just being mean. You know, I bet the researchers probably couldn't find anybody either.
Hmm.
All right, what do you have?
Well, I have here this article. It says porn app secretly takes your picture.
Huh?
Yeah.
When?
There's a porn watching app that secretly takes control of your phone, snaps your picture, looks, and then locks you out of the device, then demands $500.
Are you kidding me? This is awesome. I like this app. First of all, you're a fool for that. When it comes to porn, do buy the DVD, get the magazine, do not connect it with anything.
Right.
Because somebody else can, not that I don't have a problem with people watching porn, but if you want it to be something that's private, then you got to go old school.
Yeah.
Get a magazine,
because everybody's
get a
know
DVD.
Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
The cybersecurity firm just discovered this Android app called Adult Player.
Was it A at the end or ER?
ER.
Boom.
It's actually just malware in disguise. So it.
That's not really a good surprise.
It can. It's
like, I'll show you big tits. This is actually a real thing. It's not malware.
They say it's easy to avoid, though. The Adult Player can only be downloaded from illegitimate websites. So if you follow the basic safety rule, you're safe. Only download apps from official Google Play Store. I'm like, what?
Really?
Is that?
Do they have Google's like, we have our own porn app going on?
Yeah, but it's this thing. It's something called ransomware. This is a type of malicious software that hijacks your computer or smart device, then demands payment to unlock it.
Oh, okay, so it takes, I think I misunderstood. So I got the porn app, I'm enjoying my, I don't know, feet or whatever I'm into.
As I always do.
All of a sudden it takes a picture of me.
Yeah, like, hey.
Enjoying the feet?
Yeah.
Or doing something?
Yeah.
Okay, and then it shuts down my phone?
Yeah, so it has your picture, it shuts down
your
phone.
Why did it take my picture?
And that, so then a, so this alert comes up and it looks like a message from the FBI.
Oh,
and it
God.
Says, oh, you've been hacked. You look, this is your account, and it's your picture comes up, and
okay.
it's you there.
I'm like, they just took that. It's me wearing the hat I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, right. It snaps your photo and demands a ransom. Right, and it says you can be made through PayPal, MyCash, gift card, and it promises to unblock the phone and decrypt the images.
You know, that you can never deal with people who are blackmailing you, though, because they always want more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Not a bad scam, though.
Yeah. There is another one. It says here, to regain control of your device, they recommend rebooting in safe mode, then clicking on setting security devices. Like, there's a whole thing you have to do to get to reboot.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's, they take a picture and say, hey.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. Well, I tell you, I read this, and earlier that day, I was in CVS.
Mm-hmm.
And
your porn app.
My porn app. Right.
I don't know. Why do you need an app for porn? Like, porn is hard to find. It's pretty much everywhere.
An app.
Why? Yeah. It was too much before?
Yeah. Too much to go to a website.
What kind of, like, what could the app do?
Anyway, this woman walks in, a young woman walks in, and she's asking for a gift card, $500.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And she's like, look, my phone is locked. My phone is locked, and they need me to pay, AT&T needs me to pay
$500. A young woman fell for it?
Well, she wasn't the porn thing, I don't think. It was
just, you don't know.
I don't know
her life. She might have been having a good time. What the?
Right. She was from another country and came in and said, oh, AT&T wants $500 because something happened with my account and my phone is locked.
And she wasn't thinking, like, maybe I'll just go to the AT&T store.
Right. Because she's not from here, so she doesn't know what to do.
And gullible.
Right. And then so kudos to the CVS employee who said, let me look. Oh, look, you were hacked, and this is just some of this ransom business.
Wow.
And they directed her to the AT&T store down the street and said, you know, go there and they'll reset it for you. Don't pay anybody.
It's so bizarre because I download apps. Like, I have tons of apps. But it's rare that I pay for one. But when I do, I always get it from the app store. Like, I don't know where else to get them from. Do you?
I don't know.
You have an iPhone as well, right?
Yeah.
Where would you get an app from besides the iPhone store?
I have no idea.
I don't know
what kids do today.
I trust that the apps in the iPhone store are, like, legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you could take all the pictures of me. You're not getting a red cent out of me. I don't care. I don't care. I'll come back and take more. Take a video.
Take a video of me. Watching a video.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not falling for that. Wow. So I just wanted to give a shout out to at Cyber Soldier, who is a Hey You Know It listener.
Yeah.
We were tweeting about wine, and I just happened to see, he said, hey, all I know is Chardonnay is the Hennessy of wines.
And that is the truth.
Yes.
You tweeted the truth there.
Yes. And I said, so now you see what we mean, what we say, tasteful white wine. I'm not a huge fan of Hennessy, but what we're talking about, the effects of Hennessy.
Oh,
so
right.
Just extrapolate on your own.
Right.
A little bit of a wine in the news. I want to follow up though by something that I think that, well, I thought this was interesting. I think you will too.
Thank you for the tweet.
Oh yeah, thank you.
The info. Very great. Very great.
It's very great.
I just wanted you to know that.
What
else do you have, Jaquetta, that's very great?
I have some very great news right here. Extremely great. It says, study. Wine can help you lose weight.
Nice.
We already knew that.
Yeah.
That's what we've been doing. That's how we stay slim.
We told you so.
Yeah.
That's all I've got to say.
It says a recent Harvard University study followed 20,000 women.
What?
I know. Actually, a real study, right? Over 13 years and found that wine drinkers were more likely to lose weight than non-wine drinkers. So eat it.
So there. Are they talking about spirits such as vodka or
just
beer?
Wine? Just wine and just red wine.
Just red wine, but they're saying against others who don't drink wine. Are they drinking something else or they don't drink at all?
They're just saying here, oh, then non-drinkers. I don't know if it's non-drinkers of wine or just non-drinkers, period. It's a good question.
It's a great question because, you know, there's a lot of things that happen when you drink.
Yes. Like running. Maybe that's the reason why people are losing weight. It says red wine was shown to curb appetite, cut sugar cravings, and lower blood pressure. A nightly glass of wine also relaxes the drinker, meaning an earlier bedtime. I'm like, you pass right out. And less eating. So that's what they're saying. They're saying because you relax, you just fall asleep, and then you don't eat.
Oh, sure.
That's how it works.
So, I don't know. I think when I drink some white wine and get up and do some dancing.
Well, this is white.
White wine.
This is red wine. See, we're, you know, red wine. It says, another study by Oregon State shows that red wine contains ellagic acid, which is a fat-burning antioxidant that blocks the development of existing fat cells and stops the formation of new ones. And then they said, if you're counting calories or you're skeptical, for some reason they went to the National Institute for Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism and forced them to say something nice about drinking. They said, when alcohol is substituted for carbohydrates, calorie for calorie, the subjects tend to lose weight, indicating that they derive less energy from alcohol than from food. I'm like, you killjoys. And they said, you know, if you're going to drink one, they always have like a PSA thing. But basically, they said if you're craving something that's like a high sugar snack and you need carbohydrates, have a glass of wine.
Why not?
And apparently, you'll get tired. And you won't have the motivation to reach over for that Dorito bag.
Oh.
Like, you just won't feel like it.
You really?
It's interesting to me. They're talking about one glass of wine. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I know after several glasses of wine, I really want some cheese and, like, some bread. What are they talking about? Some olives. I don't know. That's like, it, you know.
When we had our lunch dinner last week.
Katie and I, we did not. Did you drink wine? No, you drank beer.
I started with beer and I don't know why I did it, but I switched to wine after drinking beer. I don't know why.
I was so drunk, I didn't know. I was having a drink that I later on realized was some mix of tequila, Prosecco. Because remember, they kept bringing over a little Prosecco bottle. And that should have been like, hey, no. And there were like four or five ingredients in it. And they came in like a tall glass.
Yeah,
I had many of those.
Yeah, you had many. And then I had many beers and then wine and then a free margarita that came my way.
Oh, that's right.
Nobody sent it to me. Thanks a lot, world.
It was made in error.
Made in error.
And they saw us and they were like, these seem like two chicks who drink a drink made in error that has nothing to do with what they're drinking.
It's because I told the waiter when he brought the wine, I was like, this glass is small.
But it wasn't. It was
a normal
regulation
glass. Yeah, absolutely. And he's just like, oh, you need some Sex in the City wine, don't you? And he came over with a new glass. With it filled to the top.
To the brim.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't even pick it up. You had to sip from it.
I did.
That's so funny. This glass is too small. I'm going to try that next time.
This glass is small.
Excuse me, waiter. I find this plate, glass, and everything else on the table to be too small.
It's too small.
For what I need. I like it.
And he complied, and he fixed it.
Yeah, he fixed it. He probably got a nice tip to boot.
I think he did.
I don't remember. Somebody tipped him. All right, what do you have?
I have advice on advice.
Oh, cool. So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice. So who's this from today?
This is Dear Amy.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Dear Amy, I would like your thoughts on what is fair for only children, or for only children and their families when birthday
For only children?
For the only child.
Okay.
For the only child and their families where birthday presents are concerned.
Okay. I'm an only child, so I'll weigh in.
All right. And I'm one of six.
Okay.
So
almost an only child.
Yeah. Okay. You see, my daughter is an only child, and we are friends with many families with multiple children.
Mm-hmm.
We attend
on you. You know?
We attend birthday parties and purchase gifts for these multiples when their birthdays roll around at various times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but feel that this is unfair when we obviously purchase an individual gift per sibling at their parties. But when it comes time for our child's party, mm-hmm. the parents provide one present from both their children for the same monetary value as one child would normally spend.
Huh. This is interesting. I didn't know where this was going to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
For example, I typically spend around $30 per gift per child.
That's nice.
And $30 more for the sibling's birthday than when it rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
But the gift their family provides to our one child is a $30 value, and it comes from both kids.
Of course. Wow.
We normally have our daughter's party at an external place.
External. Nothing internal.
It's coming off the side of your neck.
That's what I mean, like a goiter with a bounty castle.
Such as a zoo, and have to pay per party guest. So we are also paid admission for each of the family's two children. So that's your fault.
Yeah, that's on you.
Is it unreasonable?
But you know, she only has one child, so she can do more stuff.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
If my mom takes me to, has a party for me at the zoo, that's one thing. But for your family, that's six parties at the zoo.
Yeah, you can't do
that. You can't do it.
Right. Is it unreasonable to expect a gift from each attendee or a gift with a higher value if they combine? Are they double dipping? Signed, ripped off mom.
This is interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, before we get to the advice, I have to say, I don't know how to feel about this one. This is weird because on one hand, it's like this woman is putting out more.
Mm-hmm.
But she only has one kid, so I don't know what to say.
I don't care about the size of the party. That's your own problem.
The party? I'm talking about the gift. So it's like, if you, like, can three siblings give one gift to a child? Is that how that works? Like, how did, okay, well.
Yeah. Ripped off. One way to deal with this inequity would be to have two more children as quickly as possible.
She's made her decision.
If you have, yeah, right?
You know?
That's like a really, and it's just, that's like that's an unkind way to start this off.
Or you could ask the other people to kill some of their living children.
Yeah, why not?
That's the other side of it. Yeah. Adopt them off, at least. Get them out of town. Send them away.
If you have even one more child than your other friends and give one gift from your larger family to birthday relatives, you will win the main math challenge.
Okay, this is boo.
Yeah.
I'm going to march on this advice.
You could limit the number of birthday invitations you accept annually on your child's behalf and spend less on gifts.
That's not even the point. That's not what she's asking.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
So that your child gives the exact same dollar value as of gifts per family as she receives throughout the year. So she's being like, you know, she's being this way to be like, you're being this way.
I think the point of this thing is that her child is signing a card and giving a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want a gift from like you and your sister
mm-hmm.
that says like, you know, Katie and Katie's sisters. Like, that's not appropriate.
Yeah, like
to
if
me.
I give you a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Or no, you give me a bottle of wine as mm-hmm. a single person. I'm like, yay, this is to me.
And then your entire family gives me a bottle of wine. That's not. No, that doesn't look right. That doesn't seem right.
So you would have to purchase six bottles of wine for our one to you.
But I mean, if I were friends with all of you. I would end up purchasing six bottles of wine throughout the year. But you guys still would throw in together, what, $4 each or something like that, $5 each and get me one bottle of
wine?
That's
not right.
That's not right.
No, because if you're treating each one like an individual, we have to treat you like an individual.
Exactly.
We have to act like individuals.
Or she can go to her, the friends and be like, this gift is for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play with this toy today, but then when it's your sister's birthday, mm-hmm. please give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's her birthday gift as well.
This is to all of you. This is going to cover you for the year. Your entire birthday.
Yeah.
This game of Monopoly, it's for all of
it's
you.
It's for all of
this
you.
This is birthday. Happy birthday, all of
I
you.
I guess that's one way you could do it.
Right.
Okay.
However, I suspect if you continue to choose to keep score this way, your group of friends will diminish roughly in proportion to the energy you extend worrying about this.
Now, are they her friends or her kids' friends?
Yeah, that's... No, it's the kids' friends.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with her. She doesn't even like these people.
Yeah,
most of my friends who have kids are not overly fond of mm-hmm. their kids' friends' families. Like, mm-hmm. they just come with the bargain.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Hosting parties at state parks, playgrounds, or in your own backyard won't make you feel so burdened by the cost of venues. So I agree that the choice of venue is on you.
Yeah, that's your choice.
That's your choice. And if you're like, oh, I'm paying for all these kids, that's your own problem.
Yeah.
You can get creative with the whole thing. We're talking about the gift for the child, so the child feels.
Yeah, it's weird that, so imagine like, each of the child's friends have siblings that are around the same age, so they all come to the party. Say there's 15 kids there, but those 15 kids maybe only comprise 8 families. So is now that child only going to get 8 gifts instead of the 15 gifts? I don't know. I would err on the side of, like, each child presents something. And it doesn't have to be about the money.
Yes.
Maybe the family's like, you know, we only have $30. But we have 3 kids. Then get 3 little
gifts
that mean something. Because then when the kid, the only child, goes to thank that person, it's an individual thing. It's like, thank you, Katie. Thank you, Katie's brother. Thank you, Katie's sister. It's not like, thank you to the Casimir family for this one bottle of wine.
Yeah. Right. And it teaches the kids that they are not this, like, you know, this clump of people.
Yeah.
That they can kind of hide within this whole little group of...
But don't you want to pick out... Doesn't each child kind of want to pick out a card or want to pick out a gift? Or they could get together and be like, we got you these 3 things that go together. Like, these 3 strawberry shortcake dolls or whatever. These 3 Smurfs. I'm dating myself here. These 3 Weeble Wobbles. Weeble Wobbles, but they don't fall down. You know, like, whatever the thing is. I don't know. I don't like that.
Well, this also, this extends to, like, you know, with, if you have siblings who are married, so it's now time for the birthdays to roll around. You get your sibling and their spouse, give your sibling a gift on their birthday, the spouse a gift on their birthday.
Oh, God.
Now, and then what do you get? Your birthday,
you're getting
get a
one
joint
thing,
and it's always the you know.
And it's crap.
It's
cheap.
It's the cost of one person, like a $30 thing.
And but
this
obviously,
is from the both of us. We're a couple.
But it's obviously more of a burden on the person who's not in a couple.
Yeah.
And we'd actually, we don't, I'm trying to think what Greg and I do.
And
we multiply it by, there's 2 of us.
Yeah.
So if I was normally going to spend, you know, $50, now we're going to spend $100.
Right.
You know, and we're giving it to, do we give gifts to another couple? No, we don't.
No.
We give things separately to people.
Right.
You know, and it's usually Greg and I are like, we have different ideas of what the person wants. So for a friend of ours who they're in a couple, but we don't do anniversaries, say it's their birthday.
Yeah.
One person's birthday. And I'm like, I'm going to get Michael this. And Greg's like, well, I'm going to get him this. I'm like, fine, do that.
Yeah.
We might sign the card together, but we have different ideas of, like, what's a good, you know, thing to get. And then they reciprocate with whatever it is.
But I could see also if it's a big ticket item, like, we want to get you an iPad.
Okay.
You know, so if you
that can be from 2 people.
That can be from 2 people.
If it's a big ticket item.
You know, so that's the other exception to it. But the whole thing where people are like, we're in a group, so we give one thing, and that counts as one.
No, you're being cheap.
You're being cheap. So those people are being cheap, and I'm sorry that they, you know, have so many kids and can't afford it, but they got to do it.
They got to do it.
They got to do it.
And I'm sorry that the first thing that you said was have more kids, because that's not really what this is about.
Yeah.
That was not, the question wasn't, well, maybe I should try to have a little few more. Should I have more kids to get more gifts?
Yeah, right.
That's not the thing.
She should have said it, the other one should kill off the other kids.
Yes. That would be the other side of it.
Okay.
Oh, I like that one. Thanks for bringing that one in. Very interesting. So I have a little update here, a booze update. Remember we talked about
more
a while
booze.
Back.
This is
more
a boozy booze. One. This is like parties, this is gifts, this is wine.
It's all on the table. And now I'm going to bring it up a notch. We reported on Taco Bell that they were going to be serving wine and tapas.
Oh, yes.
Chipotle is also going to be serving wine and tapas. And apparently now Starbucks is doing liquor as well. Mm-hmm. Not in New York. But it says here, the chain says they're open a location that serves wine, beer, sangria, and frozen mixed drinks in Chicago. This is Taco Bell. It's the first time they're going to serve alcohol. It's a new restaurant that's supposed to appeal to millennials.
Okay.
So it's interesting because they're saying that millennials are moving into cities, but they still don't want to give up that nasty ass suburban way of eating.
Oh.
When I was growing up, we used to go to all the fast food restaurants because I grew up in a more rural area. I moved into the city to get away from that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I want Mexican food, I want to see Mexicans. Like I want real Mexican food.
You want real
food.
Authentic, somebody with a real recipe, like, not the corporation stamp of approval.
Yeah,
not
something that's been squeezed out of a, out of a jar. It's so bizarre to me because when I first came to New York and I had real Mexican food, I was pissed.
Oh.
I was like, really? How, you know, the first time you have something that's authentic, you're like, why were you passing this off as like real food? So it says here, it says in the new, they're going to have a tapas style appetizers in Taco Bell and a mural by a local artist and an open kitchen. And they say, quote, you will literally be able to see the food before it's prepared. Who the hell is going to eat it then? Have you ever worked fast food?
No.
I did for one day. I didn't make it through the training because I was like, this is so disgusting and so such an awful way to treat food. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with it. If you see how food is made in most fast food places, you don't want to eat it. So maybe they're going
to
change
everything.
Such a bad
intention. Like, you're supposed to, like, it's supposed to be a nurturing, nutritious thing to power up your body again and to make you well.
No, and stuff is being squirted out of jars and can't, I don't know.
And molded and then heated and cold.
Yeah,
by
people who are, like, underpaid and are just, having a bad day and are, like, sweating into your food.
And all their sadness is being soaked into the food. And then you eat that sadness.
It's just like a burrito of anxiety and economic despair, rolled up.
Yeah, because love is the secret ingredient. And there is no love in the food.
Yeah. And if people are angry when they're making your food, it's going to come out.
Anger bites.
Yes, little bites of anger. Extreme anger bites with sadness sauce. It says that the plans for the Chicago location, they're not sure exactly when they'll roll it out. They're going to have beer for $4, wine for $4, sangria for $4.50, and then something called Twisted Freezes. These are frozen drinks that have rum, tequila, or vodka. The latter will come with Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
No, anything with Mountain Dew.
Cantina Punch.
And where did Mountain Dew is like the Ozark Mountains. And then Baja. They throw some Baja.
Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
No.
Cantina Punch and Cantina Margarita. And they will cost between $6.19 and $7.19.
Oh, well. Jeez.
And it says here, the new concept.
How will you decide?
Yes. For that extra dollar, you could get the Baja Blast. Taco Bell says the new restaurant concept reflects the quote-unquote millennial trend of seeking more urban environments, I said, without actually experiencing any culture.
Yeah, right.
Basically. Right now, there are 6,000 Taco Bells in the country. They're all, only 1% are in urban neighborhoods. Good, stay out. Taco Bell is going to add 2,000 locations over the next 10 years. Is the future just going to be crap?
I think so, because I noticed this too in even some of the smaller chains. There was one pizza chain. It's it's not well known or anything, and they have different local themed sandwiches that they made, and all of them taste horrible. They put, for instance, tuna, like make tuna salad.
Mm-hmm. Always dicey. Yeah. I only will get tuna at places where I know that they're making the tuna
right. Fresh. So they get it out of the can. They stick some mayo.
It's like a number 10 can.
Right. And then they threw some Tabasco on it and then a couple pieces of pineapple on your sandwich.
What,
and
the sand?
And I said, this, well, maybe it will taste interesting. No, it tasted like garbage. And they had a few other sandwiches along that vein that tasted awful, like these random ingredients thrown together. Expecting people to think they're a culinary experience, and they're not.
The thing is, I mean, not to disparage, millennials, but, we didn't grow up with the greatest food either.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's gotten worse. Because I feel like at least when we were, young, and I mean, when we first started driving, that's when you really start to go out and eat mm-hmm. what you want when you get your driver's license when you're 16. We immediately were, moved up from going to fast foods to going to, and this is not much further up, but, a Denny's. Or a Sizzler. Because we're like, now we can drive and we can get out. Then you
and
get to college.
And,
Yeah, you go and sit down and you have real money.
Then and then you try to figure out the tip. You're 15%. Yeah. And you're doing math at the table.
Yeah. And then when you get to college, you're ethnic restaurants you discover. Because you're usually in a college area or near college. There's
have you ever had Thai food?
Exactly.
And then the person says yes, but they really haven't.
Mm-hmm. And I love Thai food.
Yeah.
So you have your Thai food.
Get it from Thailand.
You one of the great things about being a city is real pizza places.
Right.
Not Pizza Hut and all this kind of weird stuff, like your actual corner, your neighborhood pizza place. You in New Jersey probably had this too. I'm sure you had pizza places that were non-chain, sub shops.
We only bought from real pizza.
Yeah.
Changed.
So now you have this thing where you have all of these people who are moving from the suburbs or from where you are from the suburbs or from rural areas like where I am, and they're bringing all that crap with them.
And they think that's
and they think
thing.
They don't know anything else. Yeah. They didn't have that idea of we saw what was in the food court or we saw what was on Route 50 in the highway. Now we're moving into another environment. Right. Oh wait, those same things are here. I don't have to change.
Yes.
I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a Mexican. We have tons of Mexicans here. Come on, man.
It doesn't mean they all could go.
No, but I mean, like, a lot, you know, a lot of people, when they, you know, immigrate, they want to open up a small business. Right, right, right. You know, and I just hate to think that people are, like, not going to go and experience how many different kinds of cuisines there are in Mexico. Like, fucking burrito, and I go to Mexico, good luck finding one.
Yeah.
There's all different kinds of things. But if it's just going to be Taco Bell, I don't know what to say. What's the next generation going to grow up? Just licking the floor?
Probably. Just licking wrappers.
Yes. Just they just see a logo and they just eat that.
Yeah.
Just consume that. Yeah. That's it. And then when they're done, they stick it on themselves like a temporary tattoo. Yeah. I have no idea. Go to a real restaurant, people. I don't, this homogenization, like, I hate to get on a soapbox and I'll get off of it in a second and go back down to 5 feet tall, but it's just like, come on.
Yeah. So you got up on the soapbox to say, come on?
Yes.
Oh, right. I can't wait.
That's my slogan. Jaquetta Sotmar 2020. Come on. Come on. That's all I'm going to say. And they'll ask questions. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's it. That'll be my answer. Come on.
Where do you stand?
Come on.
On the humanitarian crisis in Syria.
Humanitarian crisis? Come on. That's it. That works for everything.
All right.
I'll just repeat whatever it was. How do you feel about the environment? The environment? Come on.
How do you feel about the human trafficking?
Human trafficking? Come on. It can work for anything. You just have to change the inflection. That should be in the GOP debates.
You should.
Everyone else could answer and they'll be like, we're leaving it to two words. No problem.
Yeah.
Come on. What a summer, 2020.
Right next to Donald Trump.
Yes.
Be like, this fantastic wall.
Fantastic wall. Come on.
Oh, everyone goes wild.
Yes, everyone goes nuts. Or a slow clap.
So beautiful.
Like in the 80s.
And then you could give him a face.
Yeah.
Like,
come on. It'll be a meme. Come on.
With some side eye.
Yes. And Don Lemon in the corner. Don Lemon, come on. I don't know. It's just so... I think that being able to serve drinks is what helps a lot of small restaurants bring people in.
Yeah.
And now if you can get, because you know, everything goes to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, well, and serving drinks always brings people together.
Yeah, and if you're serving, that's your slogan. Serving drinks will bring it together.
Yeah.
The guys of strip, serving drinks
will
bring it together.
I'll run as your vice president. Come on. You say, come on. And I'm like, serving drinks will bring everyone together.
Come on. I just so, like, I don't know, it upsets me. There's nothing wrong with Taco Bell, but it's like, you can do other things,
lot,
too.
There's
a lot wrong
with it.
I want to see this open kitchen.
Open kitchen?
Come on. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
You know, it's probably some survivalist, like, oh, let me put some mud on me. And
you think,
like,
there was a camera crew somewhere?
Sure.
I'd watch it. I saw a show last night.
I was
night.
A werewolf for the weekend, and that's what it's called.
I saw a show last night. You know, I'm obsessed with the white people living in the woods.
Yeah.
There's new shows every day. Now I saw Yukon Gold. Not only is it white people living in the woods, not only are they looking for gold treasure.
Oh.
I'm like, well, there's nothing left besides, like, little people in a marriage. You know what I mean? Like wife swapping and like some kind of a contest.
I like wife swapping, but no, I feel like that it would be the perfect reality series.
Yeah.
It would be called...
Weekend Werewolf?
Weekend Werewolf.
I like it. And at the beginning of every episode, the moon comes out.
Yeah.
Someone is chosen, and for that whole weekend, they have to exist as a werewolf.
Right. It'd be like a close-up on their face with the moon in the background, and then the one side, like...
Giving some Lon Chaney.
And then they turn, and then the other side is werewolf.
And you just have to make your way.
Yeah.
We have a copyright on that already, people, so don't even try it.
Werewolf Weekend.
Weekend Werewolf. Okay. Weekend Werewolf. Starring and whoever.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of narration and a lot of makeup.
A lot of running.
A lot of crouching, apparently. Yeah. A lot of, like, peering at deer, at sheep, this kind of thing. Looking for grandmothers, etc.
Right.